13, proof surely that I am not senile. I have been in jail all day though, and I need to hear some good news. So tell me something good. Anybody, anything that's good. I need to hear good news. Somebody tell me something good. Nothing good has happened in the world at all. I know better than that. Somebody tell me something good. Yes? Glad you're here safe. Glad you're here. And glad you're next to Jared to make him act nice in church. All right. Somebody tell me something good.
This church has blessed us in so many ways. Last week,
Hey, guys. Hang on, okay? Let's hear these blessings.
This church has blessed us in so many ways. And it did again last week. The church and Mark helped us get a vehicle and everything like that. And it's more than we expected. We're so grateful for it. This one sounds weird also, but my dad was really down because they canceled his surgery. It was supposed to happen today. And he didn't think he thought he was going to have to wait probably about 6 months. But they rescheduled for Friday, so he's ready to get it over with and get it out of the way. So.
Tell us his name.
Rick Spinks.
Rick. Let's remember, pray for Rick. Rick Spinks. Surgery's on Friday. Okay? Let's remember that. And those of you who carry around your 3 o'clock card, write that down, all right? And I'm going to do that right now before I forget. And if you're not carrying around your 3 o'clock card, some of you said you would do this. Now, not everybody said they'd do it, but some of you said, do it. If you said you would, do it. Somebody tell me something good.
I just want to add to it. Now we have a heater and the window goes down.
Teresa said now they've got a car with a heater and a window that goes down. But now that doesn't work at the same time. When you turn the heater on, roll the window up, okay? Yeah, that's the way you usually do it, yeah. Somebody tell me something good. Yes, ma'am? All right, next Tuesday, boy or girl.
And next Saturday
is the wedding. Now, a great girl name would be like Rexina or Rexella or Rexita. I've always thought Anna Rex would be a good name, especially if she is real skinny. Is that terrible? That is so bad. And every time I say that, y'all laugh, though. That's what's bad. Y'all are as bad as I am. So somebody tell me something that's good. That is good. Everything's healthy. Everything, as far as we know, good. Cody. All right, now listen to this. You need to hear this. Cody and Stephanie have been sober for 8 months. Outstanding. And how long you been saved? 5 months. Outstanding. That's even better. That's right. Outstanding. I love to hear it. Somebody tell me something good. Zimri made it home safe. Drove home Sunday. Made it home safe. Didn't hit any more pigs. She hit a pig on the way up here, by the way, if you didn't know that. Zimri has hit pigs, dumpsters. I had no telling how many people, we just haven't told, but she also got a job, so we thank God for that. Somebody tell me something good. Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
I have a girl that works now if I can remember where everything goes, because I keep getting my wiper in the bed of my life. But it works.
You see over the stairs, but grab your Bibles and head to Luke, but while I tie a knot on this discussion because I thought it was interesting. We live in a world that has convinced us that stuff, and you know what a word I'm using, stuff rolls downhill. You hear it all the time. Well, you know what to say, stuff rolls downhill. What we're noticing is God's blessings have a way of doing the same thing. They roll and keep rolling and keep blessing and keep benefiting others. Just one family system over here. God blesses Francis with a boss that is a generous, gracious man. That in turn blesses Ruby and her family. At the same time, within the days of that, God blesses Jason and Teresa with that. That's the way. Now I know things are tough. I know some of you that there's not much to celebrate tonight. The truth is, sitting in this room, there are people that are scared to death about health issues. There's people in this room that are worried about paying bills. There's people in this room that are worried about jobs. There's people that are worried about their kids. That's us. That's life. That's this family. But in this room, there are people who've had some really tough times that are seeing God do some good things. And that's why we're going to keep doing it and keep doing it till Jesus comes. We're going to keep remembering that there are good things and that God is working all things together for good. Because when you think it can't get any worse, or when you think it's never going to get any better, there's somebody in this room at some point, sometimes, going to be able to testify and say, listen, I remember back when I was there. I remember when I felt like that. And I'm telling you, I kept breathing. I kept walking. I kept trying to follow Jesus. And look what happened. And it's not just about new cars. It's not just about getting a job. We've seen and learned that God has answered our prayers about health, about bills, about families, but also about souls, about life, about salvation. Best gift God's given any of us sitting in this room is that free gift. That free gift of life. We thank God for that one the best, right? The most. All right. You got your Bibles? Go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. There are four people. There are four people in Luke chapter 7 I want us to discuss. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. I want us to notice four different people. I want us to discuss how one person, Jesus, dealt with all four of those. Okay? Last week when we were reading chapter 7 together, we had all these four possibilities. And when we were talking about those good things and what God is working good in our lives, you'll remember, if you were here, I don't know how you'd forget, Samantha began to acknowledge the goodness of God in her life in helping her overcome the addiction, help her being clean and sober, helping her baby be healthy. And we need to be praying because they just took her to the hospital because There's some concerns there. So we want to pray for that. We don't want to worry. We don't want to fret. We want to pray. But Samantha's tears, Samantha's honest confessions last week helped me make up my mind while she's talking that what we wanted to focus our attention on is that sinful woman. Because the sinful woman that wept at Jesus' feet, the sinful woman that washed his feet with her tears, bathed his feet with that perfume, wiped his feet with her hair, that sinful woman that nobody else wanted anything to do with is exactly how Samantha felt and still now at times feels. But Samantha's not the only one. Honest, in this room, is there anybody else that ever has had the feeling or still feels it that what you've done is so wrong? You're so ashamed, you're so dirty, you're so guilty that you have a hard time believing you're worth it. I know that feeling. Now, I won't compare it to what you feel or to what Samantha feels. I know that feeling. And there's some of us in that room, in this room right now, that need to be reminded. And we're going to mention her again tonight. But to mention just her misses so many others, and so we're not moving on until we at least mention these, and we're going to mention them until we get them all mentioned. I want you to look at the first one, all right? In Luke chapter 7, I want you to meet the first fella, all right? He's a centurion. Now, that means nothing to us unless you've been reading your history book. He's a Roman soldier, okay? He's a Roman soldier. Now, we think soldier and in... I hope we have an understanding, my understanding, let me just say my culture, I won't say anything to you about yours, but in my culture, my dad was in high school when he was drafted into the Navy, World War II, had to put his life at great risk to fulfill that obligation, and I grew up being respectful of and appreciative for men who serve this men and women who serve this country. I've not always agreed with the politics. I've not always agreed with some of the missions. But I respect the men and women and the families that sacrifice what they have to sacrifice so that these men and these women can do the job that God has given, and I would say it right, that God has given them to do. You got an interest in that, you look in Romans 13. God commissions them with a particular purpose. I'm grateful for that. They wouldn't have felt that way about a centurion back then, because a centurion to them was not somebody sent there to protect them. The centurion was there to dominate them. He was an occupation force. He was an enforcer. He was a soldier sent by a foreign government to make sure that those people, that you people, didn't get out of line and made sure that you paid your taxes and made sure you listened to their laws and do that. It wasn't a democracy thing. It wasn't a let's help build your country thing. You've heard our country do those kind of things. Nah, that's not that kind of thing. This is a kind of thing, we're going to take you for what you're worth, use you up, but we're going to keep you down. And this centurion, there's a centurion servant whom his master valued highly. He was sick and about to die. It's a servant. He valued him. Now, valued him how? Valued him how? Yeah, but what does it mean he valued him highly? We think, well, he cared about him a lot. That would make sense. But he could be just a real valuable servant. We don't live in that world, so we don't think like that. But this fella had a valuable servant, and he was about to die. And the centurion heard of Jesus. Now, this is a fella who's not a Jew. This is a fella who's not a religious fella. In fact, if you say he's religious at all, he's probably a pagan. He probably worships some foreign god or something, right? Some idol. This centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. Ding, 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 ding. We just learned something else about this centurion. He's not just the ordinary, typical occupation force. What kind of guy is he? Tell me so you know I'm not making it up. What kind of guy is he? He's a man of power. He has some influence and has some wealth, and he cares about these people. He loves their nation, and he cares about them. Now, does he worship their God? No, but he built their synagogue. He respects their faith. He wants to show his favor to them. And they want to, Jesus, you need to come heal him. He deserves for you to be healed. Now so Jesus went with them, and he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him and said, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Stop. This is what I want you to notice. I don't know about our military backgrounds in here, though I know some. Not interested so much in whether or not you've ever built a synagogue. Suspect you haven't. But what it does impress me is this fellow says, I don't deserve Jesus to come under my roof. Anybody in this room? Anybody in this room ever felt that way? When somebody invited you to church, you didn't want to go because you didn't think you'd fit in. In fact, when you came here for the first time, you thought, man, this is the first time I've ever felt like I could fit in. Has anybody had that experience? Yeah. Here's this, that's us. This fella is us. And he says, I don't deserve you to come under my roof. This is what I did, that is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. I got to give you a chance to catch your breath because I got to make the better points coming. But if you feel like that right now, if you have in your heart of hearts somewhere, maybe you don't even want to talk about it, maybe you don't even want to acknowledge it by raising your hand, if somewhere in you, you don't believe that you deserve any blessing that comes from God because you've wasted them or you've misused them or you just have done so much damage to your life you don't deserve them, you're this fella. But say the word and my servant will be healed. He said, for I myself am a man of authority, soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And I tell this one, come, and he comes. And I say to the servant, do this, and he does it. Now, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And I love this. I love the fact that Jesus was amazed at a man that did not deserve him, at a man that didn't deserve the blessings, at a man that didn't deserve him at all, amazes Jesus. Why? What is it that amazes him? Because he lives such a righteous life. Because he had done so many good things. Nobody's answering. Because he lived such a righteous life.
No.
It's because he did so many good things.
No.
Not at all. He deserved nothing. He deserved nothing from Jesus. But Jesus was amazed because he said, I tell you, I've not found such great faith even in Israel. Okay. Are you worthless? Are you not deserving of Jesus? Let's just go ahead and get it out. I don't deserve him. I won't speak for you. I'll let your heart speak for your own heart. I don't deserve him. I had blessings beyond anybody I ever knew in family and in church and in study opportunities and in teaching opportunities and travel. I had a life that was a dream for me. And I gave it up for something that was not worth a moment of pleasure. I gave it up. Threw it all away. Trashed it. I don't deserve second chances or third chances or fourth chances. I don't deserve that. But I tell you what. When you don't deserve it, but you're still desperate for it, you know what you do? I can't change who I am, but I can trust who He is. Did you hear me? I cannot change who I am, but I can trust who He is. So you don't deserve Jesus? I understand. But do you still need Him? I do need Him. So what do you do? What do you do? Trust Him. Ask Him. Trust Him and ask Him for what you need. Ask Him for what you want. Trust Him. Well, I don't deserve it. Guaranteed that. You don't. And you won't hear me lie to you. You know, I've known counselors and I've known preachers. Oh, now, sister, don't you be so hard on yourself. Don't be so tough on yourself. Yes, you're just a wonderful person. And she's a wonderful person. This is an illustration, right? This is an illustration. I'm not going to lie to you. Do we deserve Jesus? Do we deserve Jesus? Do you deserve Jesus? Do I deserve Jesus? Why'd you say that louder than you said it to you? But you're right. I don't. Do you still need Him? Then trust Him. Ask Him. You say the word and everything will be okay. Trust Jesus. You cannot change yourself. You can trust Him. And they went and found him. Guess what? The servant was healed. So if you're among the folks that stand here, sit here, undeserving of Jesus, you just saw what Jesus wants. What does he want? He wants your faith. He wants you to trust him. And if you could just trust him, if you could just trust him a little bit, it would amaze him. I like the thought of amazing Jesus, don't you? Keep reading. Now they're walking to the place called Nain, verse 11. There's a large crowd with him. Of course there's a large crowd with him. Everywhere he went, good stuff happened. You with Jesus, you got hungry, he'd feed you. 5 biscuits, 2 fish, Long John Silver kosher meal. I mean, he had fed them, right? You blind, he'd make you see. You lame, he'd make you walk. He's a large crowd following him. As he approached the town, a dead person was being carried out. Now, hang on. A dead person is being carried out of town. What do you think it looks like? Are they dragging him out with my leg? No, what are they doing? This is the funeral procession. I don't know. The lights are on the carriage. I don't know. They're walking this body to the grave. Now, notice what it says. He is the only son of his mother. Stop a second. The only son of his mother. Tell me about her. Now she's lost her son. Speak to that for a second. Speak to it. What does it mean when you lose somebody you love, when you lose your child? Devastating. What's it like? Devastating is the right word, isn't it?
Yeah, and you don't ever get over it.
It's beyond description. And tears will come to your eyes even though it's years later just at the thought of somebody else going through that. This widow felt this way. But she wasn't just a mama, she was a widow. And I said that, I gave it away. But you read it? So what does that mean? Her husband's dead. This isn't the first time she's walked down this path, is it? It's not the first funeral procession she was in. She walked this boy's daddy's coffin to the grave. And now she's following her son's. Tell me how she feels. Alone. Devastated. I'm sorry?
Not fair.
Not fair. Maybe there's some anger. Some bitterness. Hopeless. You think there's any fear? Folks, who's going to take care of her? We live in a country where... You can just about get anything you want and never pay for a thing. They didn't have that back in those days. What's she going to do for a living? What's she going to do to eat? What's she going to do to survive? Son's not there to take care of her. Husband's not there to take care of her. I don't know what's going on in her heart. I've not had that experience, and I thank God I haven't. But there are people in this room that understand what it's like to say goodbye to somebody you love so much that you don't know what you're going to do. And Jesus sees her. Look at verse 13. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. What does that mean? What does that mean? In fact, some of your Bibles will say, he felt compassion. Some of your Bibles will say moved with compassion, which is the right way to say it, because when he felt it, he wasn't just, oh my, look at that. No, it was moved. He had a physical... How's it feel? When you see something like that that hurts your heart, it didn't happen to you, but when you see that it happened to somebody else, what's your reaction? You want to do something for them. What's your reaction? You ache for them. What's your reaction? You get sad. What's your reaction? Maybe you start to cry. Or? Hard to breathe. Your stomach ever churn when you see something like that and you think, oh no, don't, oh no, oh no. Jesus saw her and knew he had never experienced what she had experienced. But he cared about how she was feeling. So let's stop a second. Anybody in this room? Yeah, well, you know, that's not a fair question. I know at least two women in this room that know something about this feeling. But whether it's losing your son or losing your husband or losing your mother or losing your father or just losing somebody you care about more than life itself, there are people in this room that understand that ache, that hard-to-breathe pain in your chest, not in your gut feeling. And I know too often, okay? Too often well-meaning people have come up to you and said, "Oh, I understand. It's going to be all right." And in your heart of hearts, you know what? You don't have a clue what I'm going through. And how can it be all right? It's never. That's what I told the girl. When I lost the friend I had loved beyond all other friends, 17 years old, and that well-meaning woman came up to me and said, "Oh, I understand how you feel, Rex, and don't you worry, it's going to be all right." All I can tell you, I found no comfort in it all. I just was angry because I thought, how will it ever be all right? Can't be all right. I'm not talking about a well-meaning person. I'm not talking about somebody that walks into the room that has all the answers. I'm standing at a hospital bed. Standing at a hospital bed with a brand new mama who is holding her son in her arms. He had just died moments before. And she is crying, sobbing, asking me, "Why did this happen? Why did God take my baby?" And a man of the cloth, a man who was the minister, got word out in the hall that the baby had died. He burst into the room, and in a voice loud and disturbing, irritating yet disturbing, said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus knows how you feel. I've never had to go through what you've gone through. And I'm grateful. But I love the fact that Jesus understands and cares. Was Jesus busy? Did he have places to go and things to do? Beyond what anybody else ever had to do. And what did he do? Spotted this one woman and stopped. Look at him. He went up and touched the coffin. Now I know if she's watching him, she's going, "What's he doing?" He walks over there, touches the coffin, and says, "Young man, get up." And I got up. Now I'm sure there are people that would say, he said, "Young man, pleaseth. You know, all churchy. It sounds to me like he walked over at Jesus taking charge of the deal, since he's in charge of the dead. Said, "Young man, get up." Like he'd say to your son, "Get up, wake up, get up." And the guy gets up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. He had to be kin to my son because he starts talking immediately. Man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Would you have loved to have been there? Would you have thrilled at the thought of watching that? Watch that. Woo! Look, what happens to her? What goes on inside of her? All of that grief, all of that fear, all of that hopelessness, all of that emptiness, and all of a sudden he said, "Oh, by the way, have you met your son? Here's your son." There are people in this room that know heartache that I've never known. I hate it. I hate it when church folks don't treat you with understanding and compassion. I hate it worse when I do that. But I know this. Jesus won't mistreat you. Jesus will understand, and His heart goes out to you. And be real honest. Well, I was going to save this for later, but let me say it now and I'll repeat it later. Those of us in this room who claim any kind of claim or want in any way to make a claim that we follow Jesus, maybe we ought to be like Him. And make sure that people that don't feel like they deserve Jesus can still ask Jesus for something. And maybe those of us who follow Jesus or claim to follow Jesus, maybe we ought to be enough like Him that when we spot folks that are hurting, maybe our heart ought to go out to them. I can't give them the gift that Jesus gave them, but I might be able to do something to care and to show that I care, don't you think? Then there's John the Baptist. Oh, and the rest of the story is good too. I don't want to make light of it. They were filled with awe and praise God. Good deal. And they said, God has come to help His people. I wish that's the way people felt about this church. That God has come to help His people. Next was John the Baptist. Now, those of you who haven't been Bible readers long, some of us have been here since John the Baptist was around. In fact, did anybody ever give you a nickname, John? I don't know that John is actually John the Baptist, but John was a preacher. He was a prophet, and he came from God to prepare the way for Jesus, right? And so he comes onto the scene, and he's telling everybody, you need to repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And he stirs up all kinds of, not just fuss, he changes all kinds of life. And they're all following God, wanting to do what God wants them to do. And then he gets thrown in jail for telling somebody the truth. That'll happen sometimes. You tell the truth, you preach the word, somebody gets upset, they put him in jail. And while he's in jail, he goes to thinking, maybe I was wrong. Maybe Jesus isn't the one. Because you remember when Jesus came to be baptized, John the Baptist stood up for him and said, that's the Lamb of God. He's the one that's going to take away the sins of the world. He sent everybody to follow Jesus instead of after him. But he got thrown in jail and now he doesn't know. Look what it says. John's disciples told him all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to say, are you the one who has come or should we expect someone else? Now hang on a second. Does anybody in this room have moments where you begin to doubt? Does anybody in this room ever have moments where you begin to wonder if what you believe about God is right? Does anybody in this room ever have any trouble hanging on to that conviction and confidence you had the day you accepted that free gift from God? Anybody have any of that kind of trouble? Yeah, I have that kind of trouble. And John says, well, let's go ask him. Go ask him. And he brings a couple of his fellows and says, go ask him, see if he's really the one. I love Jesus. When they asked Jesus that, he said, verse 21, and at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, hey, you go back and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. There's other good stuff to read there, but there's the point. That's the point I needed to make tonight. Some of us don't have a long track record of faith. Our history of faith is a few minutes of Bible study, a few moments of serious reflection, and a decision to follow Jesus. And we hang on to that free gift with desperate hope that it's real. But after time, we get tired, we get discouraged, some tough stuff happens, And sometimes it's tough stuff that we made happen, but somehow we get in our heads that God caused that to happen. And we begin to wonder, was it real? Is it real? Or is it just some story? Is it some fairy tale? When John asked that question, Jesus did not go, "I can't believe you doubt me. I can't believe you'd question God. I can't believe that you'd give up your faith. What is wrong with you? If I've told you once, I've told you." He didn't do that not one second. What did he do? He said, "Let me show you something, man. You need a little help? Let me give you a little help. You need some encouragement? Let me give you a little encouragement. You need a little faith booster? Let me give you a little faith booster." Jesus is not upset with you when you go through a tough time. Jesus is not upset with you when you start to worry a little bit. Jesus is not upset with you when you start to doubt and wonder. Jesus is not upset. Just open your eyes. Keep asking Jesus. "Jesus, kind of help me out on this deal. I need some help." What will he do? He said, "I'll tell you what, you go tell John, here's what you've seen and heard." Because the truth is, if we were honest, have we seen God do more for us than he's not done for us? We just got to see it. Just got to remember it. So there are people in this room that don't deserve Jesus. There are people in this room that's hearts are broken. There are people in this room that sometimes have some doubts, even though they really do believe, but they kind of doubt. And what has Jesus done for all three of them? What did he do for the centurion? What did he do for the soldier guy? What did he do for the guy that didn't deserve anything? What he wanted? What did he do for the widow lady whose life was over and it wasn't ever going to be all right? What did he do for her? Gave her just what she wanted. And John, this doubting, weak faith fella sitting in jail wondering why it's all a waste of time. I don't even know why I bother. And what Jesus give him? Just what he needed. Just what he wanted. What about the sinful woman? We won't reteach the story, but what about the sinful woman? Broken, so broken she can't stop crying. So ashamed of herself, she uses her hair for the towel to wipe dirty feet. What did Jesus do for her? Forgave her sins, gave her just what she wanted. Gave her more than she wanted. I'll hush. You're good to be honest. You're good to be honest to me. And I know you. I can look right at you. And I know people sitting in this room that are just like all four of those people. There's people sitting in this room who do not feel like they deserve Jesus. There are people sitting in this room whose hearts are so sad because of heartaches that have taken place in their past, they can't get over it. There are people in this room that started great and had a lot of conviction and a lot of hope, and they've lost it, and they doubt if it's really worth it. And there's people in this room that still are so sinful, they're almost embarrassed for me to talk about it because they think I'm talking about them, when the truth is I'm really just talking about me. But there's people in this room just like those four people. What do all four of those people have in common? What do those four people all have in common? Say it one more time. That Jesus loves them. You don't deserve Jesus? That's all right. He knows that. But He deserves you, doesn't He? Did you hear me? Doesn't He deserve you? Because you're what He craves. He digs you. He digs people like us. Those are the kind of folks He wants. He's not real big on these people that do everything right and are always perfect. It's because there ain't any of them. But, ones He likes are folks that have had some bumps and bruises. That's the doctor looks for the sick folks, right? Jesus not only gave this woman her son back, but He'll die so that none of us will have to die in sin again. And then He's raised from the dead, conquering death, so that on the last day, He can destroy His final enemy, which is death. It wasn't Jesus that made the decision that cost you the one you loved. It was your enemy, His enemy as well. And one day, He will destroy that enemy. I can show you the verse. You can find it in 1 Corinthians. And since that's such a good one, I'll give you a hint. Look in 15. People sitting in this room have one thing in common. What is it? Jesus loves us. Whether anybody else in this room treats you that way, whether anybody else in this room or in your life shows you that, the truth is, Jesus wants to give you what you want. Jesus wants to give you what you need. Let Him. Let Him. Let's pray. Father, thanks for tonight, for these folks. Father, You care more than I do, but there are people in this room that need a new life. There are people in this room that need to have their faith restored. There are people in this room who need their hearts comforted. People in this room that need their sins forgiven. Help them open their hearts to Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.